I started to study it for you who weren't here. Started to study on Wednesday night on the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. And we started with the Jew, and we just get started in that and didn't get far into it. And I trust tonight the Lord will help you. Amen. Now let's stand and read in Genesis chapter 12. And this is just a starting point to get where we were. This is where we picked up, where we left off at on Wednesday, so we'll pick up here. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 said, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." You can be seated. Dear Father, tonight I pray you'd give us wisdom, understanding. Give us, Lord, spiritual comprehension, God, tonight, that we'd understand the spiritual things through the Spirit of God. Lord, tonight may we rightly divide the Word of truth. May we not add anything to the Word of God nor take anything away from it. Lord, protect our minds, protect our hearts. Lord, help us tonight to discern with the Spirit of God tonight that which we need to understand. And I pray, Father, that you'd give us, Lord, the divine touch of God to declare the whole counsel of God. And we'll give you the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, there's a lot I said on Wednesday night concerning the Jew that I won't deal with tonight because we don't want to get in too much repetition. Some of it we'll have to. But I want to look at this. I asked the question Wednesday night, when did the Jew get started? Where did he come from? What's the first Jew? Who's the first Jew in the Bible? I didn't maybe say it exactly like that. But was Adam a Jew? Was Noah a Jew? And I left it at that. And I'll answer that before we get out of this study somewhere down the road. A lot of times people just take for granted things in the Bible that's not there. Amen. You have and I have. But I want to look at some things tonight. This is going to give you some things by way of introduction. The Jewish religion tonight is called Judaism. You've heard people talk about that. We'll be dealing with that little term. Not tonight, but in a study later. I did say Wednesday night, I'll say it again tonight, that the Jewish religion and the Jewish people have a monotheistic religion. That's what it is. That means one, mono means one. Theistic means one belief in God, and so they have one or a belief in one God. And that has been handed down to you and I here in the United States of America. If you have been asked that and somebody said to you, "Are you, what kind are you? You polytheistic or monotheistic?" Well, preacher, I'm monotheistic. I believe in one God only. And I said also that America's come to places she's not monotheistic anymore. She's polytheistic because she believes in many, many gods. But I tonight believe in one. I want to talk about this, and the reason I say it's important is because the center of all Bible prophecy, now get this, the center of all Bible prophecy tonight is Israel. Any prophecy in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is tonight wrapped around one country by the name of Israel. All prophecies given with Israel in mind. And I've said this many times down through the years that the capital of the world, amen, is Jerusalem. You look from Genesis to Revelation, God's speaking about Jerusalem. You got to get that in your mind. And you want to know this, the Bible revolves and involves and revolves around the country of Israel, around the Jew, and around his land. By the way, the central person of the Bible is Jesus Christ, who is a Jew. Amen. When he walked upon this earth, he's God and God in the flesh when he walked on the earth, but he also was of the Jewish nature. Amen. You with me, aren't you? So we know tonight that the Bible revolves around and involves the Jew and the Jewish land. Brother, when God's speaking about it, he's talking about that. By way of information, the Jew does not accept the New Testament. He believes in the Old Testament and just portions of that, and we'll give you some things as we go along. And he bases everything that he believes spiritually, basically on the first five books of the Bible, which are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And they call it the Pentateuch. Amen. You ever heard of that? You've heard me mention it here a few times. It's called the Pentateuch, or another word for it is the Law of Moses. Now, up here on the wall, we have a little bit of the Torah. That's what's up there is called the Torah. And that's the writings. And we're going to look at, I'm going to give you some terms that we're going to study in this study. And I'm giving them to you so you can go home and cut out about 15, 20 hours of television and learn a little bit about them. Get you a Bible and a concordance and some encyclopedias and find what you can. Now, that don't mean that all your encyclopedias are going to be right. Don't mean that, but it will help you to understand a little bit and get some understanding what people do think. And I've come to the conclusion in my ministry, in my days, that I really don't care what somebody else thinks as long as I can get it from the Word of God. Amen. And I believe that's the way we ought to do it. But let me give you some terms that we're going to study during this, and this is some that you can go home and study. We're going to study something about the Torah, so you'll know a little bit about it in Jewish history. We're going to study a little bit about the Talmud. We're going to look at that T-A-L-M-U-D. And we're going to study about the Semitic. We're going to study about Semitic. We're going to study about that. We're going to study anti-Semitism. Amen. Some of you don't know what that is. I see you shaking your head. Some of you have been, you know, introduced to it. You know a little bit about it. And I want you to know a little bit about these things before we get through. We're going to study Judaism. We're going to study the Shemites. Amen. What in the world are we going to study them for? You'll find out when we get there. Amen. Some of you already know about it. By the way, let me throw this in. Did you know there was only one race of people? There was only one language? Amen. Before the flood. And then we find the night after the flood, and we've studied this here. I'm going to go back over that during the course of this study. And we're going to pick up where the different races come in. You know, most of you know where it's at, but we're going to back in the Word of God and find out where they come from. We know where the different languages come in, don't we? The entire Bible. So we can study those things. We're also going to study a little bit about rabbis. We're going to study about what we call the rabbinical traditions of the Jews. We're going to study the Jews and the difference between the Orthodox Jews and some of the other Jews and the different variations of Jews. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. Who is a Jew? Amen. What makes a Jew a Jew? Let me give you three world views tonight of who Jews are. Number one, this is what the world says, the encyclopedias say. And I'm not talking about that in particular in a minute. I'm going to tell you what I believe from the Word of God as it's pointed out to us. You can get all kinds of definitions. But a Jew, according to some, are those who are born of Jewish parents. A full-blooded Jew is that in which has a mother that's a Jew and a father that's a Jew and not mixed with some other race. And that's a full-blooded Jew. Amen. He's born that way. Secondly, another thought is that if he's got a part of or got Jew in him somewhere, then he's a Jew. If it be from his parents, from his mother, or from his daddy. And we call that, and what I call it tonight, regardless of what others call it, I call it a mixed Jew. Amen. Just like I call it that way about all the other races. Understand what I'm saying? And then the third one comes along, and here's what a lot of people in America believe. And they'll say that if you a Jew is somebody that has converted over to Judaism. In other words, a Jew is somebody that's picked up the Jewish religion and started doing like the Jews done. Now, you may say that's a Jew tonight. And I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that make them Jew just because you take their religion will make you a Jew any more than parking a butterfly tonight in your garage and expecting an automobile tomorrow. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, a Jew is born a Jew. And it's not his religion necessarily. Somebody said it's the religious part. Amen. Well, I know a fella that was born here in this locality, and he went to this church and that church and hopped around from here to there, and one day decided that he was going to become a Jew. And he sold out everything he had, and he went off to different places, going to get into the schools and all of that. And he cut his hair like a Jew, wore his beard like a Jew, wore the garb like a Jew, started practicing the Jewish customs, and now he believes he's a Jew. Man, I want to tell you tonight, he's no more a Jew than I am. And a few times in life, I've said I'm a Jew spiritually. And that's not technically right either. Amen. What are we tonight? We are saved by the grace of God. We're born again Christians. That's what God calls us tonight. Now, did you know a Jew can be a Christian? Amen. If he comes through Christ. Amen. But you can't be a Jew. Amen. If you was born a Gentile. Amen. And you can look at that. Now, I want to say to you tonight, as we look at these things, I want to give you a few little thoughts to think on. We're going to have a lot of Scripture. Now, if you're bothered with having a lot of Scripture, you're bothered about reading a lot of the Bible tonight, you might want to lay out on these lessons. And I'm not trying to give you an excuse. I'm going to pray for you because that means you don't really want to know what the Bible says. The reason I say there's so much Scripture is because God has given us, He's given us 39 books in the Old Testament concerning the Jew. 39 books. And I'm going to try my best in the course of this study to give you a little condensed portion of the 39 books. Amen. And if you don't like that, you can just read all 39 books. And then God has turned around and give us 27 reference books in the New Testament about the Jew and his place. What about the library, the divine library that comes from God tonight? That's why we're going to have a lot of Scripture. Now, we started this, and I want to look at this and give you some things tonight, and we'll begin to look. In chapter number 12, and we talked about Wednesday night, the Jew. We talked about the Jewish people. We talked about the Jewish. We talked about the Hebrew. And you do know tonight that Jews are called Hebrews. They're called Jews. They're called Israelites. And they're called the children of Israel. Right? And we got that established. I give you the first mention of those in the Bible. And we know that the first mention of this is in Genesis. Amen. God's given that. So we're going to look. And actually the first Jew that's been pronounced a Jew and led as a Jew, actually the one that is always given is Abraham or Abram. And we'll study some more about that in the study. Now in chapter 12, I just read to you how that God made a promise to Abraham or Abram. I started on this study Wednesday night, and I'll pick up into this, and again, we'll go back through it. I want to give you the promises that God has given concerning the Jew. And we've got to get this in our mind. Listen, God chose the Jew. And if I have time tonight, I'll show you why He chose the Jew. And I'll show you tonight from the Word of God what God says about it, not what I think. Now we find that God is speaking to Abram. He's trying to get him out of his kindred, trying to get him out of his country. And He's trying to get him to go to a country that he has never been to. He was trying his best to get him to follow the Lord. And he did. The Bible said that Abraham obeyed God. Amen. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Another portion of Scripture said it's better to obey. Amen. Than the sacrifice. It talks about that. And I want you to know tonight that we ought to obey God. And we ought to listen to Him when He speaks. God gave an unconditional promise to Abraham. We talked about that Wednesday. And here's the seven promises that He gave us. We'll go over them again in verse number 2, chapter 12. You can look at them, mark them. And I will make thee a great nation. Number 1. Number two, I will bless thee. Number three, I'll make thy name great. Number four, thou shalt be a blessing. Number five, I'll bless them that bless thee. Number six, I'll curse him that curseth thee. And number seven, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's amazing that God told a little man by the name of Abram that. Isn't it? God just plain out told him, now Abram, this is yours. And he told him to go out and look at it, and we'll find it in the Lord. Now this is what God gave him the promise of when he was in Haran. Now, let's go to verse number 7, chapter 12 and verse number 7. We'll give you the second time that God makes a promise to Abraham. This time he's in Shechem. To prove that, look at verse 6. And Abram passed through the land under the promise or place of Shechem, under the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land, then in the land. Look at verse 7. Here's the promise. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed. Amen. Does Abraham have any seed at this particular time? No. He said, unto thy seed will I give what? This land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Now God give him the second promise. He's already told him, I'm going to make your name great. Give him seven things in the verse number 2 and verse number 3. Now in verse number 7, he said, I'm going to give this land that you're in, where you see it, I'm going to give you this land for unto your seed. Now, I'm going to get ahead of this in just a minute. Well, I won't either. I'll hold it just a moment. I want to talk about the third place. And that's in chapter 13 of the book of Genesis. Chapter 13 of Genesis and verse number 14. In verse number 14, we're going to read on through verse 18. I told you it'd be rather lengthy in the Word, but I want the Word of God to speak to you. I don't want you to hear what I have to say. I want you to see what God is saying. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, and eastward, and westward. Would you say that tonight is in all directions? As far as you can see in front of you, turn. And as far as you can see in front of you, turn. And as far as you can see behind you, and turn. And as far as you can see over here. Now he said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to look at all that. And then he said in verse number 15, for all the land which thou seest. And I don't believe that Abraham was blind. I believe he had some good eyesight. And I don't believe he is behind some rocks. I believe he's out in the plain field. Amen. How do you know that? Because that's exactly where they'd been. They'd done looked and saw a lot of land, and old Lot had done said, I want the plain down here. They'd saw a lot of land. In verse 13, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Abram, I'm going to give it to you, and not only you, but I'm going to give it to your children. I'm going to pass this down from one generation to another generation. You ever wonder why, you get a heritage and parents pass things on down to the next? That's where it comes from. Verse 16, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. That's a lot of kids, ain't it? Abram, I'm going to give you a lot of young'uns. So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Do any of you think you could number the dust of the earth? All right. Now let me give you this. At the end of 2013, I did mention this, there was a total of 13.8 million Jews on the face of the earth. 6 point something million. I don't have my figures in front of me tonight, but 6 point something million are in Jerusalem or in Israel. 5 point something million are in America. 1 million or so is in the European era, and then the rest of them scattered all over the earth for a total of 13.8 million. Just prior to World War II, right before World War II, there was a total of 16 point something million. I can't remember the figures to the exact number. 16 point something million Jews on the face of the earth. Hitler come along and annihilated 6 million Jews. And now their number has climbed back to 13.8 million. They've tried to get rid of the Jew down through the ages and they'll never do it. Young folks, listen to me. This is history. They don't teach you this down at the schoolhouse. Amen. You know why, don't you? Because they're not using the same textbook I'm using. But I'm going from the thought of the Word of God. And we're looking at it from the standpoint of the Word. So we find that He says to Abraham, or to Abram, "And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth." And see, you can't number it. Then in verse 17, He said, "No, told him while ago to look." Now He said, "Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Amen. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Now, I'll share this with you. He said, "Abraham, you're looking all sides. All the land that you see, I'm going to give it to you and your seed forever. And I'm going to multiply you so great that your seed will be like the dust of the earth." And if you can number the dust of the earth, then you can know how many you are. Amen. And then He said, not only look at it, but now Abraham, just take a, not only a gander at it, but I want you to take a little walk. Walk in any direction you want to and get it. Back under a few years ago, it's been a long time, I guess, to some. We was going to build a brand new church and started to work. And we was meeting in a house. And we found this piece of property that had a building on it and 5 acres of land. And we decided that would make a good place for a church. We checked into it, found out there's no restrictions to a church. And the man had it up for, well, it was partially for sale. He talked about selling it, but we didn't know where we could talk him into it or not. It was extra property for him. So we had service on a Sunday morning. It snowed that morning, or that night, and had some snow on the ground. And we went out and looked, and there's a pasture and a fence around it, and that covered, that was the perimeters of it. And we took the people down on the property after the service, and we decided we're just going to claim that for the Lord. And we looked it over and saw the barriers and the boundaries of it, and several in the church, and some of them thought it's kind of silly. Amen. I'm amazed. When you do something in the church, in Baptist people, there's a lot of always odd ones that always think what you do for God's silly. He said, "What's that do to you? Don't bother me." Amen. I've kind of got used to it. So we went down and decided we'd walk in the snow. I walked in a suit and shoes, and we walked around the perimeter. And I come around that thing and claimed it for the Lord. Went and saw the fella, talked to him, and he hadn't made up his mind, and he didn't think he would do it, and he didn't like it. He said, "On top of that, you can't pay for it." I said, "We didn't come to talk about that. We just come to see if you sell it to us and give us a figure." And it thinks about that. We established the church on February the 4th. And we was about, I don't know, a month away from Easter. And we went to see him, and he said, "Well, to have that land, you'd have to put some money down on it." And he said, "How much you got?" I said, "I don't know. We got $400 or $500. He said, "Won't touch it." He said, "I'm going to tell you this. I'll sell it to you, but you're going to have to give us $11,000 by Easter Sunday morning." I said, "All right." Here we are, bunch of poor folks. We'd done walked around it, claimed it for Jesus, got in the church, started raising money without having garage sales and cakewalks. We just prayed the money in, and on Easter Sunday morning, we took an offering, and it exceeded $11,000. And we'd been paying the bills all up to that time. And on Monday morning, we went over and gave the man a check, and he said, "I can't believe it." I said, "Believe it." And he did. And so we started out from there. And God let us build a church on that. But I'm saying, God let us walk. I believe what He's saying to Abraham. "I want you to walk over, Abraham. It's yours. Just go ahead and claim it." Amen. There's some things in the Word of God that you ought to just claim. Amen. You get a promise in the Word of God, just go ahead and claim it. Amen. All right. We'll find that He's given this promise to Abraham. And we're going to go on. Then the next time we find it is in chapter 15 and verse number 5. God's making this promise over. How many times does God have to make a promise to somebody to make it so? How many? Say that loud. Amen. I want the devil to know that one promise is all God has to make. Amen. But boy, when God puts in more than one, glory to God. You know what that is? It's not just a country fried steak. It's the gravy on top of the country fried steak. Amen. Ain't that right? Amen. God putting a little gravy on the promise. In chapter 15 in verse number 5, He said this, and He brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. Now the last time we seen He made a promise looking to the north and the south and the east and the west. Now He said, Abraham, I want you to change your look. This time I want you to look toward heaven. He said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. Amen. If thou be able to number them. And He said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Hey! Now how many kids does Abram have? Zip. None. Zero. He said, Abram, I want you to look to the stars. And if you can tell how many is there, that's your seed. Whew! What a promise. All right. Now we find that was at Mamre. Now go to chapter 17. God just keeps making a promise to this one man. He just keeps doing it. In chapter 17, verse number 6, the Bible said, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. What's God saying? He said, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to be with your children. I'm going to bless you now and I'm going to bless them later. I'm going to continue to bless and I'm going to make a covenant with them and I'm going to have an everlasting covenant. Amen. You know why they can't destroy the Jew? God said their mind all the way. Amen. That bunch of towel heads get over on the other side of the country and think they're going to blow the Jews off the face of the map. They got all these ideas of how they're going to annihilate the Jew and they're going to stop him and put him out of business. I got news for you. Bro, they haven't read the Bible. And my God tonight said He made a promise to them. It's unconditional. God said, I'm going to do this for you. Amen. All right. Now, in chapter 17, I want you to look at this thing tonight with me, if you will. If you'll look at it. In verse number 4, I want to go up and look at this. In the 17th chapter, the Bible said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Then He said in verse 5, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. You heard me talk about this the other day in Sunday school. Abram means father of many. He'd get out in the place where he was to say, Abram. And they'd say, and of course he'd introduce himself, and I'm Abram. Abram? Well, in those days, names meant something. And they'd say, oh, you're a father of many. How many children you got, Abram? None. Amen. But your name's Abram, yeah? How many children you got? None. Well, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Abram means father of many. Abraham means father of a multitude. Now he gets his name changed. He's in public. They said, what's your name? Abraham. Oh, Abraham means father of a multitude. How many kids you got? None. Got none. That's right. Amen. And it got even worse. After a while, when Isaac come along and said, Abram, you're a father of many. Or Abraham, you're a father of a multitude. How many kids you got? One. Amen. There's a lot of difference between one and a multitude. Well, God changes His name there. Now let's read on a little bit in chapter 17, go down to verse 19. The Bible said, "And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed." Whew, what about that? She's getting old. "Thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will" what? "Establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Amen. So we find in verse 19 that he's calling her Sarah. If you go back up to verse 15, he said, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be." What does the word Sarai mean? It means princess. She's a princess. What does Sarah mean? Princess of a multitude. Amen. Can you see them down at the tea party one day? "What's your name?" "Sarah." "Oh, princess of a multitude. How many children you got?" "None. But we got a promise." Verse 19. Hear me? Got a promise. Now he said, "When that kid gets here, I'm going to have an everlasting covenant with him and with his seed. When he comes along and has some children, I'm going to have an everlasting covenant with him." Now go to chapter 22 of the book of Genesis. Are you seeing tonight how that God constantly, continually is making a promise to the man called Abraham? Now we've got to get this or we're going to miss the study on the Jew. Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to rush it up and get out of here, all right? That's a promise. Amen. Genesis chapter 22, verse 16. The Bible said in verse 16 of chapter 22, "And said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son." Now God is coming back and reaffirming that promise, but this time, because Abraham done what he did. Let me tell you something. Men begin to call on God and follow God in the life of Abraham. Abraham is the one who has presented God to the world. Now let me just throw this in tonight to put this in your mind to think about for a minute. How much of the Bible did Abraham have? Somebody got it right. Somebody said, "Well, the reason people live so far away from God is they don't have the Bible." Abraham didn't have the Bible, and he lived for God. Enoch didn't have the Bible. He lived for God. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. He didn't have the Bible. You want me to tell you what's bad? It's for you to have 66 books of a library from heaven that's divinely inspired and not even listen to it or pay no attention to it and live like a heathen because you think you don't know. But you've got the truth. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you what, we're in an age right now, we're very informed. This is not the dark age. Amen. It's not even been a dark age. As far as I'm concerned, man put himself in darkness. God didn't. He's always in the light. God produced light. First thing God made light for man to walk in the light. He intended him to walk in light. And we have brought ourselves low to the darkness of this world. All right. Chapter 22. He reaffirms it. Let's go on. Verse 17. He said, "That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all..." Do you hear this? Now read it. "And in thy seed shall all," A-L-L, "all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice." God said it's through the Jew and him tonight that God is going to bless the whole earth. We owe a lot to the Jew, don't we? Amen. I want to knock them. Amen. I don't want to punch them. I don't want to make fun of them. I'm indebted to them tonight. They gave us the Savior and the Scriptures. We talked about that earlier. Now go to Genesis 26. Two or three more little scriptures and I'll be done. Genesis 26 and verse number 3. The Bible said, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." You'll find out now that this is not Abraham God's speaking to, but He's speaking to Isaac. And He said in verse 4, "And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, or stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Now God has brought that down to His next child, Isaac. God is keeping His word from generation to generation. How long has God made that covenant? Everlasting. And then we get also in this place, we'll find out why God blessed Abraham and why He gave it to him. You'll see that in this scripture. You read it as God confirms to Isaac that He's going to bless him. You'll see how that God does that. And you'll find out it's because Abraham was faithful and God blessed Abraham for doing it. Then go down, if you will, tonight in Genesis chapter 28. In Genesis 28, you'll find out that God is confirming it again. In the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis, verses 13, the Bible said, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of who? Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." Who's He speaking to? Jacob. "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." You're seeing that tonight? God is continuing from one generation to another, confirming that promise. And then verse number 15, "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land." I will bring thee again into this land, He said. "For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Amen. God's going to give them that. Now the Jew, God done promised them that land. They do not have it tonight. And if I know my Bible, and I believe I do to this point, and if I know my God, and I believe I do tonight, God will make a promise and keep that promise and not fail in that promise. And God will give the Jew the same land and the same territory that He promised to Abraham before I ever got here and before you ever thought about being here too. Amen. Now, if I know anything about the Bible, that's still yet future. Have you ever known a time when the Israelites walked on all that land? When they possessed it all, they've had portions of it and then got scattered. And see, when we get in this study of the Jew, we're going to find out how they got scattered, how they got dispersed, not one time, but several times. And we're going to find out what God is doing and on the calendar of God and what they're doing tonight and how that God's going to bring that Jew back in. He's sitting over there doing his little thing and he don't understand. He's praying at the wall for the Messiah to come. He's going to be quite surprised one day when the Messiah appears and found out that it's Jesus already. He's going to be quite surprised. They'll say, "Where'd you get them scars?" He said, "In the house of my friends." Amen. "When I came and died for you on the cross of Calvary and you rejected me and said, let my blood be upon you and our children, and I had to do it." Amen. You're going to see that now. We'll find that God confirms it to Jacob. We studied about Jacob as... what's Jacob's real name now? God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And that's where we get the 12 tribes of Israel out from under the loins of Jacob. I'm going to read one more scripture tonight, a portion of scriptures, and we'll finish because I don't have time to go into this in any more depth. In chapter 50 of the book of Genesis, and by the way, there's only 50 chapters, so... just turn to the last one. Genesis chapter 50. And we're going down to the last verses of it, verse number 22. God has said many times, "I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And if you want to come from Jacob, you come down to Joseph. Verse 22, and Joseph dwelled in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up under Joseph's knees. Look at verse 24 in particular. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. We're still getting that promise, are we not? And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. I like that. So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. But if you'll study, when they come across from the Jordan and got into the land of Canaan, that's when they went across the Red Sea and come out of there, guess what they're doing? Toting the bones of Joseph. They got him out of Egypt. Now, I would love to get into the next study. It's so exciting. We leave the Israelites in Egypt in the 50th chapter. They stayed in Egypt for 450 years. The next study will pick us up and show us how they got into the land of Egypt. I'll go back and back up in Genesis, and we'll go back and pick up how they got into Egypt. Some of you know, but we want to look at the particulars. We also want to point out that they did not live in the place of the countryside or the wickedness of Egypt. We'll find that they, even in Egypt, had a safe haven. It was called Goshen. And we'll find that that's in typology of our day, that God lets us live in the world, but He does not want us to be of the world. We're living in a wicked country, but we're not to live in the wickedness of the country. I'd like to study that, but I don't have time for it tonight, because that'll take us a little while to go back and get us some more scriptures. And I'm saying all this to help you tonight to understand the Jew. If you do not get the Jew, the Gentile, and the church in the right perspective in the Bible, and get the viewpoint of the Scriptures tonight, you're going to miss all the prophecy of the book. And you're going to live a defeated life, and you won't know what's going on. You have to scratch your head wondering why in the world things are happening like they're happening. Isn't it amazing to see the things that are happening tonight? On the way to church, I got a little news bulletin kind of, and I looked at it, and it said this. And I thought, isn't this ironic? Isn't it strange? And you probably heard it, or if you don't, you'll hear it tonight when you get in. Three Jews have been shot this afternoon in Kansas at a couple Jewish places. In Kansas, that's this afternoon, right before church. And I thought, isn't that strange? We have in killings and shootings, but it's just strange that the Jews is involved. They use that. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. The religions of the world, especially the Islamic religion, hates two groups of people, the Jews and the Christians. Amen. And we're going to see more and more of this as it goes by. Of course, we haven't it everywhere, but amen. We've already seen an intolerance in America on Christianity. People don't want to know about Christians or Christ. They don't like us Christians. We better get the place of where we are tonight and put it in perspective where the Jew is to understand the Bible. It'll make your Bible so much plainer when you see it. And that's why I'm trying to teach this study. Amen. I know a lot of it's just going back over it. It's just rehearsing something you already know. But maybe for the end of it, we'll be able to put something together that you can maybe get a little deeper into this thing, and may God bless more and more. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, we got overtime tonight. Amen. Well, you ain't going to do nothing no how. Amen. You just thought you were. Amen. Amen. Keep your husbands from fighting with your wife, and your wife fighting from your husband, and keep your kids fighting from fighting your kids, and kids fighting parents. Amen. We ain't had no fights since I've been preaching. Amen. Let's stand.